Last week we finished, at least for now, our series from the book of Revelation and the letters to the seven churches. A few people have urged me that we would go on in Revelation, and we may do that sometime. I'm not sure when. But Revelation is a great book, and I've enjoyed so much and learned so much from reading it and studying it over the last 2.5 months. And we'll continue to look at it in places and times. Last Sunday, the seventh letter to the seventh church, we looked at the church at Laodicea. And we read last week that Laodicea was the lukewarm church. And some of Jesus' strongest words of warning were to this church and to those Christians who would have the tendency to drift into lukewarmness. I'm sure that anything that's hot drifts into lukewarmness. And certainly in the church, in the body of Christ, we as Christians can tend to allow the passion and the fires to burn down. Jesus said, "Neither hot nor cold, I would spit you out of my mouth." Many people believe that Laodicea describes well, best of the seven, the church of today, especially in America where we have so much. And so the question that I keep on feeling and asking as we leave this study is, how do we keep the fires burning? How do we keep the closeness in our connection and relationship with God? What does God want for us? What does God want in us? This morning I want to speak to you about a word to me that describes what God wants for His church and how we can keep the fires burning within. And the word is sanctification. It's a long word, a big word, and it means to be totally set apart for God, to be totally given to what God wants. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." There's a completeness and a fullness of commitment that God is looking for in every area of our lives. Every part of you, God is looking to fill. Every corner of your life, every corner of your character, every part of your body and mind. Sanctification is about who you are and who has authority in your life to look at everything that you are. Watch this video and then we'll continue to read about the importance of sanctification.
What do you think when you hear someone say holiness or sanctified? Sounds pretty religious, doesn't it? Definitely doesn't sound like we're going to have a good time. To me, it sounds like boring religion and a long list of do's and don'ts. But you know, that's not the picture the Bible paints. Remember when Moses was 40 years old and he sees that Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews? Moses gets so angry he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. But when word gets out that Moses has killed the guy, he runs away to Midian on the other side of the desert to escape Pharaoh. And for 40 years, Moses lives an obscure life, tending sheep, seemingly forgotten by God. But one day while he's out tending the sheep, he sees a burning bush and he hears God speak to him. Moses approaches the burning bush and God tells him, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. For the place where you are standing is holy ground." The Hebrew word that gets translated as holy is kodesh. It means to set apart or separate. And then God goes on to tell Moses he's going to use him to lead the nation of Israel out of their slavery and into the land God has promised to give them. Now, years later, when God is giving instructions to Moses to pass on to the Israelites, he says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." And literally that means, "I am Jehovah Mekadeshim, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who sets you apart." Did you hear the Hebrew word for holy? Kadesh. It means, again, it's the same root word. It means to set apart. God is saying, "Set yourself apart for me because it's what I've already done for you. I designed you for myself, for my purposes, to live according to my ways. So don't live according to the world's standards, to the world's pattern. I didn't design you to live that way. You belong to me, and I've chosen you and set you apart from the world's way of doing life. So God set Moses apart to lead his people out of the nation of Egypt, out of their slavery. And then he set the nation of Israel apart as his own people. And he has set you and me apart for his unique purposes in our lives. Now here's the cool part. You don't have to be the smartest, and you don't have to be the fastest or the biggest. You don't have to be the best looking. What God is looking for are people who will live in their set apartness, that will live set apart lives and live according to God's ways. And then we can fulfill the unique purpose for which God has designed each one of us. The verse that I quoted a minute ago from Leviticus, he said to Moses to pass on to the people of Israel, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who sets you apart for my purposes and my ways."
Sanctification is about being set apart completely for God. Everything in your life given to Him. I'd like to invite you to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read one verse in chapter 4 and then in chapter 5 at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading one verse, verse 3. Would you stand as we read these scriptures today? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Would you say that with me, please, this morning? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Amen. One more time. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now verse 12 of chapter 5. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Thank you. You may be seated. These words from the heart of God were written down by the Apostle Paul. They were written in the days of the early church after Paul was traveling around and preaching and planting churches. And some of those places, some of those churches Paul went back to, and some of the places Paul would write a letter to later and send it back to them, and things that were on his heart and on his mind. These words were probably written about 20 years or so before we read what we've been studying the last 9 weeks in the book of Revelation and the seven letters in the book of Revelation. And so Paul wrote these words about 20 years before we read about the churches of Ephesus and Pergamum and all that we heard about in Laodicea. I've often wondered if the churches had ever received this letter. This is called a pastoral letter, the book of 1 Thessalonians. That means it was not a letter that was written to a specific small group of people, but it was probably intended to be circulated. And whether it ever got to Laodicea, I don't know. But I do know that the words of this book and the words that God calls us to be sanctified is absolutely as important today as it was in the church, as Paul proclaimed it and wrote it so long ago. Every Christian must make certain decisions about their continuing relationship with God. If you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you stop there and you do not nurture that relationship and you do not seek the Spirit of God and you do not grow, then you will not become a mature Christian. Sanctification is about that desire on the inside to become all that God wants you to become. So every Christian must make that choice. Every person comes to that place of deciding about sanctification. I know, as the video said, that sanctification is a big word. It sounds like a church word. It's this word that may seem kind of vague to us, but what it really means is, have we come to the place in our lives when everything that we have is committed to God? This verse says, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. The truth is, God is writing this to each one of you today who are believers, who have come to the place that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and your mind. God has something more for you to continue to help you to grow and build your Christian maturity and character. It's God's desire to completely set you apart, to completely, all the way through you, be a part of your life and what you think and how you live and what your choices are. Sanctification is God's will for every Christian. It's not just for super saints, although it's this long word and it seems like such a religious word. It's not just for those that go to Sunday school. It's not just for the old people in the church. And it's not just for the young people. It's not just for the teenagers. But God's will is that every Christian will be sanctified through and through. He wants to sanctify us. He wants us to be set apart for Him. The question is, are we willing to go that distance with God? There's three things about sanctification that I want to mention this morning. First of all, in this scripture, we're reminded that it's God Himself who sanctifies us. It is the power of God. It is the nature of God. It is the heart of God. It is the mind of God that wants to set apart His people for His will. It is God's power that changes us spiritually. It's God's power that takes the sin away when we come and confess it and believe on Jesus. Just as coming to the place of salvation is by the power of God, so is sanctification. God's the one that does the work. God's the one that cleanses our heart. God's the one that changes us on the inside, the way we think and how we operate and our will. It's God's Spirit that does it. We cannot do it on our own, but it's God who sanctifies us. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. He's the one that can clean out those things on the inside of us that are not pleasing to Him. He's the one that understands how we're made and how we're wired, how we think and how we respond. He's the one that can take that nature that's a part of the human race. Some call it the sin nature. He's the one that understands the impact of the fall of Adam and Eve and how it's impacted humanity. He's the one that's able to cleanse us. He's the one that's able to change us. Without Him, it can't be done. We can make some changes on the outside, but we cannot change our spiritual nature without the power of God. So if you really want to be all that God wants you to be, you've got to realize you can't do it on your own. You must allow God's Spirit to do it. May God Himself, the God of peace, may He sanctify you through and through. It is also something, these words, through and through. There's a deepness, there's a depth, there's a thoroughness that God wants to do in our lives. It's God's power at work. It's not our own, but it's something that God wants to be complete in us. Not just some areas of our personality, not just what other people see, but God wants to cleanse everything inside of who we are. There's a completeness in that everything you are that God is interested in. God wants to examine everything that you are. He wants to look at it. He wants to give His truth and His insight into it, and He wants to clean it, and He wants to change it. Many times throughout the Bible, connected with the word sanctification is the word holiness, or the word purity, because they all kind of are coming together at the same thing. God wants us to be like Him. He desires His children to be like Him and a part of Him. He wants to purify us. He wants to examine us. It's a thorough nature that God wants to do His work in. He wants to change us. Our past is our part of sanctification. God does the work. God does the sanctifying, but we have a part too, and that is to be totally obedient and responsive and willing and humble before God's Spirit. That we come before God and we say, everything in my life belongs to You. Look again at these words. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Think of that. Spirit, soul, and body. Our actions, our mind, our will, everything about us. Everything about us God wants to set apart. Everything about us God wants to purify and to make right before Him. If you're a Christian today, every part of you belongs to God. If you really desire to live the Christian life, you understand the completeness of God's desire and love and Spirit in your life. That says a lot. Every part of you belongs to God, because there are many places within who we are. There's many rooms, many closets within us, and God wants to be able to go into each one of them. Sanctification is inviting Jesus into every room in your life, into everything in your life, and saying, it belongs to You. Sanctification is giving the control of your life to Jesus. I want to give you a picture today. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. I've talked about it before. Today I want to give you a picture of sanctification. Then I want to tell you a little bit again about my life and my journey and what sanctification means to me and how God has spoken to me in my life. I want to ask you this morning to get in your mind a picture of a large house. A large house with many rooms. If you are old enough to know who the Waltons are, pick a house like that. It's got to be a house with a front porch. Got to be a door that, you know, it swings open and creaks and it closes, you know. Some of you know about the Waltons and some of you probably don't, but most of you do. I want you to get a house in your mind right now as I talk about this illustration. I want you to make sure that it has a front porch on and, of course, a front door. I want you to imagine today that Jesus is standing outside of that house and He is knocking on the door. Just like the picture that we had from last week when we read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. In that verse it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Go on to that next picture, Nate. You remember the picture last week we had of Jesus knocking on the door? I want you to know today that Jesus is knocking on the door of every person's heart. We certainly have the benefit and the opportunity to know about Jesus knocking on the door to our heart. We're here today. We're in a church. You've heard the gospel. You are hearing the gospel. You understand that Jesus knocks on the door of your heart. You also understand that it's up to you what you do with that. You can ignore it. You can open the door. You can go to the door and look through the hole and see who it is and listen part of it. You can turn around and walk away. Say, well, I'll come back later. Maybe I'll open the door later. I mean, there's all kinds of responses that we can have to Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts. So Jesus is knocking on the front door of your heart and everybody's heart. So He's on the front porch, and I want you to go back to that house and imagine again with me that Jesus is knocking on the door of this old house. The first choice that you can make is to hear Jesus knocking, and you go to the door and you listen to what Jesus says, and then you ignore what Jesus says and you never open the door. Obviously, many people in our culture today hear the knock of Jesus, but they never open the door. Many people never do hear the knock of Jesus in ways that we do, and around the world, they don't have the same privilege and opportunity. But we certainly must say in the American church today that we have the opportunity to hear Jesus knocking at the door. And so the first person is the one that goes to the door and listens They might look out. They might listen to what Jesus says. They listen to the claims of Jesus, but they really never open the door and invite Jesus to come into their lives. And so, for all practical purposes, Jesus really hasn't done anything for them because they've not opened the door of their faith, of their belief. They've not made that conscious choice to ask Jesus to come into their heart and to come into their lives. They may hear the gospel, but they really never respond. We said last week that Jesus will not open the door for you. Jesus will not pull you through the door. He will not force His way in. It's up to you to open the door by faith. There's no way that you can please God. The Scriptures say without faith it is impossible to please God. Opening the door is the choice of faith. The second choice is that many people come to the place in their lives where they hear Jesus at the door and they hear the gospel and they open the door. They say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe by choice, I make the choice, I make the faith that You are who You say You are. That You're God's Son and God sent You to die for the sins of the world. People who open the door come to the place of understanding what sin is, that sin separates us from God. And when we open the door, we're saying, God, I believe You about sin. I have sin in my life, and I ask You to forgive me for my sins. When we become a Christian, it's like that. We open the door, and we invite Jesus into the house. We understand God's forgiveness. We understand who Jesus is and what He did. I'm sure we don't understand everything, but we know that if we call on the name of the Lord, as the Scriptures say, that we shall be saved. We know that God sent His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we open the door and we invite Jesus in, it's what's called salvation. It's that beginning point of our relationship with God. So Jesus comes into our hearts and into our lives, and we start to know Him. When somebody comes through the front door at my house and they come in, and I usually invite them to sit down, and if I know them real well, we start talking about things, or if I don't know them, we become acquainted and we ask questions about each other. Well, when you become a Christian for the first time, when you ask Jesus into your heart, it's like that beginning process of learning and understanding who Jesus is and what He wants in your heart, in your life. When you become a Christian, it's like saying, Jesus, I want You to have control of my life. I want You to come into my life. I want You to come into my house. I want You to talk to me and teach me, and I want to learn about You. I want to give you a picture today about what happens after that point and what goes on from there. You see, after Jesus comes into the door of your heart and into your life, it's the beginning of a process. It's the beginning of a journey. It's the beginning of a relationship. And if that's all that happens in your life, then you're falling so far short of the fullness that God wants in your life. And you're falling short of what Paul writes in this verse. It is God's will that you would be sanctified holy. You see, when Jesus comes in and He sits down in your living room and He begins to share with you, and you learn about them, you'll find out pretty soon that there's a lot of things about God and a lot of things about you that you never understood before. Things about who you are and your character and flaws that you may have that God sees and maybe you weren't even aware of. But as closer you get to Jesus, the more you understand the wonder of God and the holiness of God and the plan of God. And the more you listen to what Jesus says, the more you hear what the Bible says, the more you open your heart in humility to the perfection of God and the love of God, the more you learn and hear about what God wants to do in your life and what you want to do. So sanctification is like saying to Jesus, I give You permission to keep talking to Me about what You want for my life. Sanctification is also like giving Jesus permission and the opportunity to go into the rest of who we are and to look at who we are and tell us what He wants us to do. It's kind of like giving Jesus the permission of the seven letters in the church of Revelation. I'm coming to see You. I'm coming to examine You. And as I come and look at You, there's going to be things that I want to say to You because I love You. For it said in chapter 3, for those who I love, I discipline and I rebuke. The truth is, when Jesus comes into your life, He comes in because He loves you so much and He wants to form you and shape you into what He wants you to be. And so sanctification is asking Jesus to go through every part of who we are, asking God to look at our personalities and our past and our experiences and our emotions and our feelings and everything that we have in life, our hopes and our dreams and all those things, and asking God to examine anything in us that He wants to change. Sanctification is saying, Jesus, You're in charge of my life. God, You're in charge of who I am. The truth is, I know I did, and probably most of you, if not all of you, have some places in your life, even after you come to faith in Jesus, that you know aren't quite what God wants them to be yet. I could call them a room that's full of clutter. One of those rooms in the house that's full of trash, or it's got things in it that not very good and not very clean, and you've never really been able to get rid of it. And sanctification is asking Jesus to go into every room of your house and examine what's there and take the things out that He wants to take out. There might be some rooms that have a lot of clutter in it. There might be some rooms that have some real stubborn places in them. Some things that are really attached and they're not easy to move and they're not easy to get out because they're deep within who we are. The only one that really can do that is the Spirit of God when He sanctifies us and He comes into those places and He knows how to clean them out. He knows how to take them out. Some of the places inside of us get locked up over time. We almost kind of have the attitude that, well, you know, I'm gonna be a Christian, but that I'm not gonna change. That I'm not going to, you know, that's just part of who I am. Things inside of us that are displeasing to God, but we make excuses for. See, those are rooms in our house that only God can change. And if we're willing to let Him change them, He can. In sanctification, we give God the keys and the permission and the opportunity to go into every part of our lives, every corner, every closet, every room. We come to that place in our lives when we believe with our whole hearts that He is the potter and I am the clay. We come to that place in our lives when we understand that God wants to shape us and that we are His workmanship, that He wants to form us. If there's a blemish somewhere in the clay, He wants to take it off and redo it. He wants to make us into a vessel that's fit for Him. See, sanctification is the understanding that God is the one that shapes everything that we are. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. I was 15 years old when I heard Jesus knock on the door of my heart. I grew up in the church and I had done a lot of things at church. I went to church most of the time, but it was 15 years old when a missionary came to our church, and it was a missionary lady. And I remember she said something like this. She said to us as she was speaking that day, that every single person had to make the choice for themselves of whether or not they're going to be a Christian. And I'd grown up in a Christian family. My parents were Christians. And so when I heard that, it just really impacted my heart that I had never taken the personal step of opening the door of my heart and asking Jesus to come in. So when I was 15 years old, I made that choice and that decision, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And so many things changed for me. I knew it. I knew that day that things had changed. I knew that God had forgiven me. I knew that I was in a new relationship with Him. I knew that God wanted to do things in my heart and my life. And it was a good beginning for me. I wanted to live the way that God wanted to. But I have to say that even after that day, on that Sunday morning when I was 15 years old, when I became a Christian, I also started to become aware of some things inside of me that I didn't like. I became more aware of some flaws inside of me after I became a Christian than I ever did before. I began to see things inside of me that I knew were inconsistent with what God wanted for my heart and my life. I knew that there were things that I did and things that I said and attitudes that I had that I just really knew wasn't right and God didn't want for my life. One of the problems that I had, and I never really recognized it, I didn't understand it until after I became a Christian, is when I was a teenager, I had a terrible temper. I could get angry very quickly. And I remember back to several things that happened to me when I was a teenager that happened because of my temper and my anger. I could get mad and say things that I am very ashamed of today if I think about them too much. I remember saying some things to my parents that were so rude and disrespectful. And I never understood it. I never saw it till after I came to the place that I asked Jesus to forgive me. Then I started to be aware of what these things were. When I didn't get my way as a teenager, sometimes I would get so angry on the inside and I would get so mad. I would say things that I shouldn't have said. I would hurt people. I would say things that were very rude and condescending. That was one of the things, one of the rooms that was in my house after I got saved. Another one was jealousy. I just remember back to that time, and I remember how I looked at other people and I looked at things, and I knew it wasn't right. You know, especially I'd get upset about something and I would fly off the handle and I would say really cutting things to... I remember in our teen group, we had a teen group, and I could remember getting in a fight with Bob Long. I remember the day. I remember what I said. That's just an example of what you might have in your life and in the rooms of your house. Well, this really troubled me. I really was sincere in being a Christian. I wanted to do what's right. It really troubled me and it bothered me. And so I just kind of continued to wrestle with this on the inside. And about 6 months later, a man came to our church and his picture's on the screen. His name is Wingrove Taylor. And this man has had such an impact in my life. Wingrove Taylor was from Jamaica. He was an evangelist. And he came to our church and he was preaching one day. And he said something like this. He said, from the person who preaches behind the pulpit to the one who sweeps the carpet in front of the pulpit, you must be sanctified holy. I know I've told this story. Many of you have heard it before. But when he said that to me, see, I was a janitor of the church. I had been the custodian for about 2 years. And so I cleaned the church every week. And every week I'd vacuum up in the aisle. We had a center aisle in our church like this one. And when he said that, it's like God's Holy Spirit just sent that word right into my heart. I said, Wayne, you need to be sanctified holy. And that began about a year-long struggle with me with two things. What did it mean to be sanctified holy? And what am I going to do about these things on the inside that are not pleasing to God? What am I going to do about this attitude that keeps coming up? I keep saying I'm sorry. I'd blow up and I'd tell my mom, I'm sorry, Mom. I just got mad and she loved me and forgave me. And other people too and other things too. And I was struggling with this. Why is it that I can't seem to get over this? Why does it keep coming back? And then I kept hearing the words of this preacher, Wingrove Taylor, go through my mind, you must be sanctified holy. I'll never forget those words, that arrow that shot through my heart. I couldn't get them out of my mind. At the same time, I knew that I was struggling with this self-centeredness. I was really struggling with self-centeredness and who I was for months, 6 months to 9 months, a year. I wrestled with these two things. On one side was my miserable failures. On the other side were these words, you must be sanctified holy. So I cried out to God to change me. I came before God and I said, God, I know these two things are related. For me, it was a temper and it was pride especially that I knew was wrong in my heart and my life. And I couldn't beat it. I wasn't able to do that. So I cried out to God to change me. I cried out to God to do whatever He wanted to. And on a Sunday morning in 1979, God challenged my heart. I came to an altar and I knelt down. I said, God, I want to give you every room in my house. I want to give you every part of my personality. I want to give you everything about my relationships. I don't want to be the boss anymore. It was a day that changed my life. It's a day that God came in and He changed me. He changed my spirit. He didn't make me perfect, as you know. Other battles were out there. But on that day, God came into my heart. And I can tell you, He took away the spirit of jealousy. He took away my temper in an instant on that day. And I'm so thankful for that. You must be sanctified, holy. I don't know what room is in your life. We all have different rooms. The rooms that I had probably aren't going to be the same ones that you had. But all of you have rooms in your life. If you're a Christian and you've come to that place and you've invited Jesus into your heart, my guess is if you're seeking to be a Christian, Jesus is showing you the rooms in your life. And He's saying to you, as I show them to you, will you give them to Me? Will you commit them to Me? Will you call them what they are? Will you not make excuses? Would you give Me permission to go into your life, into your house, into your rooms, and clean you out and fill your life with something different? Fill your life with a spirit of love. Fill your life with a desire to serve God. This morning I ask you, have you been sanctified, holy? Is there any rooms in your life that you know God would like to go in and clean out? That's what sanctification is about. This morning, where you're at, where Jesus is in the outside of the door and knocking and saying, would you open the door and can I come in and be with you? Wonder this morning if you might be here and you would like to invite Jesus to come in. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm beginning to learn about You. I know that I'm a sinner and You died for my sins, and I ask You to forgive me and come into my life. What a great way to begin that relationship with God. This morning, if that's your prayer, this is the perfect time to make that choice and that decision today. Then there might be others that have already invited Jesus into your life. You know He's there. Sometimes you talk to Him and sometimes you don't really have much time for Him, and you realize that He wants more of you and He wants to be more involved in your life today. I'm wondering today, if that's the case, do you need to pray this prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify me through and through today. Wherever you're at, God's Spirit wants to speak to you and draw you to His heart this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You knock on the door to our hearts. God, You continue to speak to us. And Lord, when we open the door and ask You to come, it's the beginning of a great, Lord, time of getting to know You and understanding a great God and the love of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. Today, I thank You for that. I thank You that You're knocking on the doors to hearts today. I pray, God, that we would have that strong, Lord, willingness to open the door. Whatever You say to us today, that God, we would give You the keys to every room in our house. Lord, whether it might be, like in my case, it was a self-centeredness and a temper and words that I spoke that I shouldn't have spoken. Lord God, I'm thankful that You can forgive and cleanse. And Lord, I know there's all kinds of different rooms in our houses. Sometimes it's moral choices that we make. Sometimes it's because we've walked away from You and we're not willing to give up things that You call us to. Sometimes, God, we know that You want to do something in our lives, but we resist that. Lord, it could be our attitude about money. It could be our attitude about others. It could be about being a servant, not being a servant. Or God, it could be about being outside of Your plan about sex in our lives. Lord, there's so many different rooms in our house, and You know what they are. Lord God, today I pray that we would seek that cleansing of the Spirit, that forgiveness of God, that sanctification, that we would just now pray this morning in this moment of quietness. We pause now for a moment this morning and just invite you to pray right where you're at. What is God speaking to your heart and your life about today? Father, we thank You that You are the potter and we are the clay. Thank You for Your Spirit and Your Word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.